Yes.
Where are we at? What are we talking about?
I just brought up, Dave, that on the False Alarm Reduction Act, Kenny asked me if I could support it to get to a public hearing, and I just cannot support any new laws, new resolution that is more regulations on business. And I think if this thing had the permit process taken out of it, I'd be able to support it. But we got rid of the fee. The permit's got to go next.
And then after that, why don't we give people two or five or six or ten free false alarms, and then we can only have it apply to homeowners and not businesses. And then we can say, oh, well, the homeowners can't be saddled with the burden. Why not? And then eventually you just strip everything out of it so it's useless. I'm here to make, laws that make a difference. I'm not here to make, useless pieces of paper that get filed. In my opinion, it's a very cut-and-dry situation. You're either in favor of police wasting precious resources that could go to saving lives on false alarms, and in favor of hardworking volunteers having to go to senseless, mindless false alarms all the time, or you're not.
Good. Dave?
I don't know if it's that simple, but I agree with him on the concept here, and I know the city of Kingston, they passed one because they were having problems with the very, very thing that we're having in the county. And, that was done, I think they did it 20-some years ago. It's been a pretty long time.
Quite a few municipalities have them in Ulster County already.
I was on the council, so it had to be over 22 years ago when we passed it. And, it's a tool, because what happens is some people are just, they tend to be kind of reckless with them, and they don't worry about it. And, as a result, it's taken police off other things that need to be covered. And, I think it makes people say, okay, you're giving them a grace period. You're giving them a grace period by if it happens once, it's twice, they get free, and then then they get it the third time. And I think that's reasonable. You're not asking now. And I agree, you have to have some kind of permit to establish it. And if there's no fee to the permit, I didn't have a problem with the fee to the permit. My problem I had with was a continuous fee. I felt that it should be, maybe the one fee to register your, but typically these people are registered anyway because the police respond to it. So I don't think it's a big deal for them to create the permit because they're already registered. So I think it's pretty a relatively easy thing for them to do. I would say, my take on it is, if you want that extra added safety, as many people do, you pay for it. We all do. I don't personally have one. My neighbors on both sides of me have them, but I don't. I don't feel that I need it,
I don't have one in my house. I got a big dog, so.
Right, well, I got a beagle, but he will bark and he will bite.
Good enough.
If somebody came in the house, he would attack them. But having said that, I've never had one. Maybe I'll consider it someday, but but I don't need to worry about it right now. But anyway, I support it, and you took the fee out of it. I think Ken has compromised on this. He came from one point, and I think he took the fees out to appease many people. I really think there should be a short fee at the beginning, but not a reoccurring one, just to register it so it doesn't cost the county more money for somebody that has, if you're putting these systems in your house, you most likely have enough money to deal with it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to put them in your house.
Manna?
My concern about the permit was how it was going to start. There are hundreds or thousands of systems, and it'll be in the paper, but I guess my understanding is that if there's a problem, in order to get the system reconnected, then they have to get a permit, a valid permit,
right,
at that time.
And I would imagine that, the sheriff has some leeway here. I would imagine that there'd be some sort of a grace period in the beginning with the sheriff's department, where if they start to go to these false alarms and the person doesn't have a permit, they would be informed, hey, you need to have a permit. Fill out this sheet. And it's very basic information that goes on the permit. There's nothing onerous.
And who's going to keep all the records?
The sheriff.
In a database?
Yes.
That could be hacked by potential criminals and find out who has the alarms?
We have all of our social security, all of our social security numbers. Mine, yours, Mana's, everybody's.
I know, but that doesn't, you know, one wrong.
It's all on an encrypted county server, so technically any information that anybody gives to the county can be hacked. It's on the same system as all the information in the DMV, so every motorist in Ulster County could be hacked. I mean, you know, I mean, that's... And again, there's no, you know, what are the information that's included in the permit, would you be concerned about being hacked more than our social security numbers?
Well, I mean, you know, it gives criminals access to who has alarm systems and who
doesn't. Yeah, but they got to hack in to get that. That's going to be an awful lot just to hack in.
Not to mention the fact that that's already a crime.
They're going to hack in.
They're criminals.
If they hack in, they're going to probably be hacking in for things. If somebody's going to spend that time and the energy and create the crime to hack in, I'm sure they're going to be hacking in for something other than just finding out who has alarms.
Any other points to be made?
I think it's good. I think where we're at with it's good. I don't know. I understand that there were some members of the Democrat caucus that wanted to go back to law enforcement again, but I wasn't sure. Why?
Well, that's what it there was. That's true. I forgot about that. They didn't want it to go back to law enforcement. And I think, what was it about? It was
I checked my notes I couldn't.
Maybe it's what. I think we had a problem.
I mean, it's been there twice, probably for 4 months now. So I don't know. I don't believe that even if we sent it back, it'd come back out without a permit.
Well, I did make my points to Chairman Briggs via phone call, so my concerns were raised.
There was something that...
We have permits to operate a frozen dessert shop in Ulster
right,
County.
Ken.
There's a permit to...
It doesn't make it right.
Dog licenses.
I think that's what it was. It was on page 4, any other information which the Ulster County Sheriff deems necessary for the enforcement of this local law.
I'd be comfortable deleting that if that's their only concern, personally.
That was what it was.
I'm sure.
On 4.
From the person that you're speaking of, I believe that's probably accurate.
Yeah, it was Tracy. It was Tracy out of that concern. And, I mean, I can see the concern.
I figured. I was looking at it again yesterday, and I was like, "That's where that's probably her concern." I mean, I believe in the sheriff. I believe in his office, and I believe that they have the proper discretion.
Yeah,
but
I remember. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is
that's
you're
fine.
Not always going to have the same sheriff.
I understand. All right,
and
so
I all agree that we all have a great deal of respect. For
I make a motion. We strike number 4.
From page
4.
Thank you.
4D. Page 4.
Yep, 4D.
Section 6.
Yep. Section 6,
6D,
subparagraph B,
number
4.
Okay.
What about Section 7?
So we have a motion to delete that.
I'm sorry. All in favor of the motion to delete?
Aye.
Okay, Section 7, permit shall expire 3 years from the date of issuance and shall be renewed for another 3 years?
I think
that's unnecessary.
Dave's point might be well taken, just to have a permit.
I'm fine. I'm fine taking that out, too.
Move to strike
one.
What
is the duration of the permit?
Then the permit would be
it's
in perpetuity. It'd be a one-time thing.
Unless they move or somebody, you know, sell the house or
right,
shut the alarm off.
So we're taking out...
But I think if you sold the house, then somebody else would have to register a permit.
Non-transferable.
Yeah.
So Section 7 is being removed altogether?
I move that we remove Section 7.
Is there a second for that?
This is getting kind of easy, man.
Do you second that one?
Yeah, I second that one. Ken, what about section 8?
All in favor?
All in favor, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Section 8B, penalties for operating an alarm system without a valid permit. That falls to the owner of the real property.
Yep.
But it's a responsibility of the contractor to apply and get the permit?
On behalf of the homeowner.
On behalf of the homeowner, of course.
And at the homeowner's expense.
At the homeowner's expense. But if the home, the average homeowner is not going to know about a permit process, the alarm company obviously is going to know about it. And the owner is being penalized. Shouldn't the installer be penalized for installing one without a permit?
How about this?
Go ahead.
How about we wipe out the first alarm fee and make it $0 for the first alarm, and then $100 for the second and $200 for the third? By the first alarm, you get a warning, and then the homeowner would have to contact their alarm company and make sure that they file a permit. That way, if you ignore it the first time, then I believe it does become the homeowner's responsibility.
How about 30 days?
Now, wait, I'm getting a little confused here. You have two different sets of penalties, right?
The first set of penalties is for false alarms. This was for operating without a license.
Oh, that's
without a permit.
But you can operate as long as you don't have a false alarm.
Well, yeah. How else are you going to know?
Well, if you have a real alarm.
Then you'll know.
Then you know. There's no penalty for that.
I can tell you that.
You put zero for the first one, then that makes sense, because that's why they get noticed.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you don't have this permitted. You need to get it permitted.
How about zero in 30 days? Because if you have the false alarm, like, boom, boom, you know, you're not going to get the permit in the next day.
Well, then if you get a second false alarm, I guess you're going to get the $50 then.
2 weeks.
Oh, you mean
grace period to get the alarm system permitted.
Well, I think the permit is pretty easy, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a one little page thing that they fill out.
You're worried if they're on vacation, right? That's what you said before.
It could be on vacation. It's also, you apply for the permit doesn't mean you get the permit that same day.
I'm willing to change it to this. On the first false alarm, a warning notice shall be issued to the homeowner.
Right.
I wouldn't, without thinking about it long and hard, I wouldn't know
you could do that. You could say, and then the owner has 30 days to secure a permit.
Even 14 days.
Or do you have 14 days to secure a permit?
Fair enough. All right, I have it. You ready for him?
I think so.
All right. On the first false alarm, a warning notice shall be issued to the homeowner.
That's for the ones that you're talking B.
Yep.
That's the ones that don't have a permit.
And such homeowner shall have 14 days to obtain a permit.
Such homeowner shall have 14 days to obtain permit.
See, this is easy, Kev.
And yeah, right.
If I knew this easy, I would have been more prepared.
So that motion is that motion is made by Ronk and seconded by
I'm good.
Donaldson.
Yeah,
I'm never in favor of just jamming things through as long as there can be reasonable compromise.
And that's going to come up big time with the dogs.
I figure. Oh, you mean with the dog laws?
The second one.
Yeah.
It's got to be modified.
I don't know.
The first is...
We'll talk about this first. And I think that the folks are... Many of the folks who are speaking to us are coming from a particular point of view of owning and operating a certain kind of business.
It's a tough one. I have to, but you know, my point is, sometimes these things have to be worked.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable now.
What about the fine system?
What about it?
You got the sheriff who runs out to a false alarm, and then he does the data on it,
yep.
And then he issues the fine.
Yep.
Is that like judge, jury, and executioner?
No.
Yes.
There's an appeals process.
They took out the hanging for the fourth.
That's right.
False alarm.
Shouldn't he go in front of the town justice?
You're not going to want to flood justice courts with these. The justice courts are already packed.
And the sheriff don't have enough work to do?
I think that some of the sheriff's work, some of these deputies' work will be maybe made a little bit lighter when we stop having 2,000, 3,000 false alarms
it'll be,
a year.
It'll be a pain at first. For them at the beginning.
Setting it up is going to be the most.
Until they start realizing, hey, if I get a false alarm, I can get fined for it, then they begin to think.
If you look through the false alarms, you'll notice some towns have a lot more than other towns, and there is somewhat of a correlation between towns that have and enforce a false alarm ordinance and the ones who don't.
Can I see them?
Are there other fines that the sheriff collects directly without people going to court?
There's fees that the sheriff's office collects. I mean, not necessarily fines in particular.
The sheriff's not collecting it. He's just issuing the fine.
And then
Department of Finance.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, anything else?
Nope.
So that last one, did we vote on that?
I think so.
It was 4-0 again.
If not, all in favor? All aye?
All right. Dave, anything else?
No, I'm good.
All in favor?
Aye.
On the resolution as amended?
Yes.
Okay, so it passed 4-0.
Did you vote?
No. Oh.
Kevin votes
what's
no.
What's the vote? Was it
3-1.
No, I'll vote in favor of it, Ken, to get it to the floor.
Oh, you know.
I can't promise you a.
No worries.
On the floor tomorrow.
That's okay. Just as long as you still believe in democracy. I'm just.
Okay. I'm going to just write as amended on here.
That's cool. Vicky's going to be pissed at me.
Why?
You're going to have to redo the whole
I have packet. To retype this whole
thing. All right, it's not Vicky's fault.
296, adopting proposal local law number 3 of 2015.
I emphatically move it.
I got a second?
Second.
We worked incredibly hard on this and found some good consensus, and I think that it's a really good a really good piece of legislation. I understand Legislator Lauren still has a concern about it being a local law. He thinks it should be a resolution, but
a policy.
Nana, do you want to grandstand too, or
I agree with Legislator Lauren, but I think it's a good law, and I'm going to vote for it.
Dave? Good?
Well, I think the idea of having it as a local law, it gives more meat to it. That's the whole point of local laws. To overturn that, it's a little more difficult than overturning a resolution.
And we, if I could, Mr. Chairman, we have policies right now in the county that aren't being followed. Set by the county legislature by resolution, including the healthy vending options local law. Healthy vending options policy, requiring that a certain percentage of the vending options in the county be healthy vending options.
We're under?
We are.
Substantially?
Quite a bit substantially, yes.
What, those Snickers don't count? I thought they did.
Snickers. Hungry, wide awake kind of stuff? Or?
All in favor of 296.
Aye.
4-0.
297, adopted amended proposal local law number 4 of 2015, amending local law number 10 of 2008.
And could you add me as a sponsor to this, please?
Sure. And do you want to move it now?
I'll move it. Sure. Second.
I think we talked about this in great detail, why we're doing it and the need for it. If anybody has anything further to add.
I won't grandstand on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Ronk. All in favor?
Aye.
$298, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 13 of 2015, campaign finance reform.
I'll move it for discussion.
I think John was hoping you would talk about it tonight, but that you would postpone it so he could take in everybody's comments, and he's getting a lot of feedback.
Well, we do need a second to talk about it.
One second.
Very good. Kenny and Dave.
Oh, this is the wrong one. Here's the other one. Did we sign?
What are the complaints?
I mean, Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes, of course.
You know, I find quite a few areas of this law to be in disagreement with the United States Constitution and recent Supreme Court decisions and, you know, recent district court decisions.
Such as?
Such as, well, such as disallowing county employees from making donations is in blatant violation of the U.S. Constitution, in my opinion.
Which amendment?
The first one.
Free speech?
Yes.
Where are you? Which piece? Which section where?
It is section 4.
B.
Section 4B, a county elected official, a county committee control, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not it either.
Business entity.
It doesn't do it. What it does,
C.
It puts the onus on the county official.
That's a distinction without a difference, sir.
Okay, you show me a case that says that. I don't know that you're correct. I hear you, and logically you're correct. I'm not sure it works that way, though. I hear what you're saying, and technically that's how it works, but I'm not sure the case
law. Hypothetically, let's say the county executive points me to be the director of human resources, and I now cannot give him a donation.
Not true. You can't, and I'm not trying to be silly.
A donation cannot come from me and end up in his campaign account. Otherwise, he would be violating this local law.
That's correct.
Again, that's where I find the distinction without a difference. There's no way for me to take without laundering it, there's no way for me to take $250 and put it into his campaign account.
I haven't done the research yet in any great depth, but I think that is an interesting legal argument to get around the First Amendment. And I think it might do it.
See, to me, somebody who already has the job should be able to make the contribution. It's somebody that gets rewarded after they make a contribution. I have a problem with that.
You can't prove causality like that. I don't think so.
You don't have to prove it.
It's already in our charter. This type of First Amendment, your instincts are very good, but it's already in our charter. For example, the county executive or anyone else can't do business with certain organizations that make certain campaign contributions. That's done all the time. And that's not uncommon. We have it in our administrative code in charge.
Agreed, and I actually think, I personally believe that you can limit the amount of campaign contributions that people with contracts at the county can make, because the Supreme Court has upheld reasonable limits on campaign contributions. But it's the prohibition
on acceptance or making of campaign contributions that I think is in violation of the Constitution.
I will do the research. It's not the local law. I'm sorry. Public hearing is October.
I mean,
I don't have an answer for you.
Actually, I think that, you know, it's. I think it's never a good idea to look at laws like this in the middle of an election. I think that this kind of a law would be best postponed until after the election so people can make, you know, have reasonable discussions and not have them be based solely on politics and whatnot. That's just me.
We do have to admit there's a problem with money in campaigns.
I don't know that that's true.
Oh, well, I do.
Yeah.
We see it nationally and we see it, I don't know. Not,
for the love of God, if there is an issue, then we definitely see it locally because legislator Lopez had an opponent who spent $30,000 against him in a county legislature race. $30,000 that was funneled to him through a political committee, getting around
right.
Campaign finance law.
I see that as wrong. And I said it then. I mean, I did.
But if you allow people to make reasonable contributions, then you don't have to make outrageous contributions through a political committee.
What is a reasonable contribution?
Well, my reasonable might be different than your reasonable, but... I mean, for goodness sakes, the Mayor de Blasio funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, through local political committees in upstate New York. It was, I think that the Putnam County Democratic Committee got $500,000 from that PAC to spend in the Senator Murphy against Senator Murphy in favor of Justin Wagner, and in that race, it was the first time that the Putnam County Democratic Committee had ever received a donation over $1,000. The Ulster County Democratic Committee got, you know, a substantial amount of money from that same campaign to use against Senator Amador.
It was $200,000.
Yeah.
Would it make sense to put an amount, a limit?
Well, right now, let's see, if you run
through the beginning.
We already
have limits, though.
It's so everything's for the okay employee. Up until we hit, what is it,
4C?
We start with the first page of this. And the title. Is the title okay?
We don't have to go through all this tonight,
right? I just want to know. I was trying to find out.
I just,
you
know.
The son I never wanted.
I appreciate that, Dave.
But let's, if we may, can we get back to C, whatever, 4C?
Of course.
The employee issue? I don't know if that would help. But the others say not to exceed $250. Would there be a reasonable amount that an employee can, I've sat on both sides of this.
Yeah.
At that time, I had to stay out of politics, and I did. but I may have made campaign contributions during that time. So
I mean, I don't think that the limits that are already in place need, especially on an individual basis. I understand the difference between, you know, a corporation doing business with the county and an individual who is making a personal contribution. I mean, I don't think that. If I'm working for somebody and I believe that they're, you know, the right person for the job, I imagine I would think that they were the right person for the job since I'm working for them.
I'm sure people take jobs because they need a job too. Let's face reality. I mean, you have to put bread and butter on the table, or you lose your house, you lose everything. And my take on this, and this is one of the problems with employees, and I've seen it here over the years, where they were kind of expected to put money in. And I think that's what this is trying to counter, expecting. And if you put in $250, all right, that's not bad. I mean, you're allowed to give $1,000 to their campaign over a four-year period. That's still a good amount of money to give somebody, they can't turn around and say, hey, you got to pony up another $4,000. Well, he can't legally do it.
One possible compromise to do, like they do with judges, is make the contributions blind. Anybody can contribute to a judicial campaign. Any lawyer can. but the judge can't, I'm sure they know, but a judge technically can't know who contributes to their campaign.
How is that possible?
Oh, it's bullshit.
Maybe, but it's certainly not a violation of the First Amendment.
I agree, but in this day and age, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely. All they have to do is go on, correct.
I've been to fundraisers for judicial candidates.
They have to wear blindfolds.
They've got a big sign that says, here are our sponsors. And then when they acknowledge the sponsors, guy's got to leave the room like
that.
He hasn't seen the sign 500 effing
times.
He knows
who's at his fundraiser. I understand that.
But I don't see, what don't you like about this B?
It's C that I have a problem with. B is not.
I think C4 is unconstitutional.
You think C4?
I do not. I do not think C4 is unconstitutional.
What if we had a limit of $50? Yeah, I mean, for a contract for a corporation, it's $250. You know, and that way, they're certainly they couldn't put a lot of pressure.
Well, I don't think he's worried about the bees, and the bees okay, right?
I'm talking about employee.
I'm not wild about the whole thing. That having been said. You know, my primary constitutional concern is C.
Well, you know what? The thing is, you know, here you got a county department that, okay, you better pony up at least $2,000. You want your job next year, buddy.
That's why I was saying 50.
You know?
I mean, if there is pressure, if people are being pressured,
at least
it would limit it.
I guess then you limit how much you pressure them to give.
Maybe make it $100 they can give or something like that. I mean, they still get money, but you can't. Let's face it, I know people that work over there that give $5,000 for.
I think it's a limit, so they probably don't get more than $5,000.
Well, they get $5,000, then they're... The husband gets $5,000.
What is the limit anyway? Five?
5,000, I think. The county executive? Probably.
So
that's most of the donations that he's talking about, I see, I think, are $5,000. I'm pretty sure it's a limit.
The county department head, deputy, or any employee whose employment is directly determined by the elected officials responsible for said employment. What if we change that to say they are not allowed to get more than $100 in any one calendar year?
I don't know if I agree with that.
From the other's perspective.
Yeah.
You want them to give whatever they want.
Right. Well, I don't... within reason. I mean, you know, there's already set limits on campaign donations. I don't think that we need to set our own.
Hey, somebody, the department head having to pony up $2,000-$3,000, I'm sure they may want something else to do with the money.
You know what I'd like to see?
What
is,
was that?
Is the limits. How much a corp can donate, how much an individual can donate.
It varies office to office. Like for county legislator, the largest donation that we can accept is $1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry?
It's $1,000 or a dollar for every voter in the political subdivision, whichever is higher, I think.
$8,000.
$1,000. Or whichever is lower. I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah,
I just know that ours is 1,000.
I know it's 1,000, yes.
The state assembly is 4,100. State senate is 10,000.
How come these action committees can donate 100,000?
Because they're unlimited.
They're unlimited because they're not technically donating it to them. What they're doing is they're doing the campaigning for them. They're just doing, they're taking ads out and doing the campaign.
Oh, no. I can give...
They're not putting it right in.
I can give the Kingston Democratic Committee $1,000,000 tomorrow.
Right.
And then they could give $1,000,000 to Legislator Donaldson's campaign account.
Yeah, and I'd tell them I just wanted $100,000. I wouldn't even take them $1,000,000.
It's spread the wealth.
It's spread the wealth. I you know, want to give...
It's that liberal mentality. I make a motion that we postpone this until our November meeting.
November?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I really think C should be a number. I agree with this. There's a, you know, and I've seen it. I've seen it here. So I've seen what happened right in these area over the 22 years I've been there. You know, kind of, well, you better, you know.
Mm. But Dave,
everybody had to show up to certain fundraisers, or, you know, he might be looking for another job. Yeah.
Do you mind postponing it, though?
I don't mind postponing it, but I really think
something should be done.
We should do it after election? Well,
I do.
I don't know. Maybe we should do it before election.
I don't think the time frame should matter too much. It's always going to have, you know, you got the campaign going on now, but there's always politics in mind.
Yeah, but when you do something in the middle of a campaign season like that, it could reek of politics.
Yeah, but you look here, I don't see anybody really caring like about what we're talking about tonight.
I want to speak
like that little million I know.
Or your NRA. I'm sorry, I apologize for being out of time.
No, it's okay. I got spanked around for that. It's all right.
Any more gun action?
Yeah, this right here, this should be,
you made a motion that didn't get a second.
What are we talking about, Vaughn?
Postpone to November. We have a motion.
I postpone it until next month, and then we'll talk about it again.
Yeah. I mean, we can.
So there's no second on my motion until November?
Ken, how much can I give you in one night, buddy? Come on.
Yeah, how much fair do you enough. Want? I've been bending over backwards for you here.
Fair enough. I withdraw my motion.
So there you go.
It doesn't look like there was a second, so.
Withdrawn, okay. And now we have a motion to postpone to September?
Yes. Well, next month, yeah.
I'll second it.
But I really think we need to zero in on some of this stuff.
All in favor that it's postponed? I agree, Dave.
I'll tell you what. Chairman tonight, as your acting chairman, you can maybe you can direct Vaughn to send a letter to each one of the legislators. Please take a look at this resolution closely, and have some suggestions.
Did you hear that from the acting vice chairman?
Yeah, he was throwing his voice.
So we'll write a letter to all the legislators.
Yeah,
it's going to
send them something nice. Take
a
look at this.
Give them a copy of this to go with it and just say, you know, Lord, look at this and, you know, give us some really, really
love it, hate
feedback. Mm. You know, what would they want to make this, that would make them want to pass this?
Or to make this better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what John wanted. That's what he said. He said, I'm throwing it out. I want you to look at it.
Okay, 323. Local law number 10 of 2015.
I'll move it.
Second.
Yep.
Self-explanatory. Been through this a few times.
I'd like to be added as a sponsor, please. Actually, well, it was supposed to be added at the very beginning when you put it in, but you put it in without my name on it.
John don't like to share the wealth here, does he?
No, I think.
Well, he's sharing the wealth tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think he wasn't sure.
Hurricane Donaldson's going to be back up at the podium.
One last ride, huh?
Yeah, that's what I need.
And you're just amending the existing law.
I don't mind doing it once in a while. I didn't want to do it all the time. That's why I didn't run for it in the first place.
Did we vote yet?
No, we're about to.
Okay.
All in favor.
Aye.
It's actually a very good way of.
So this one's been worked through.
Yes.
It's been worked through, and there's been false information coming from the report.
So, Dave, on new business, we're going to hold off on your resolution until next month? Or
I'm asking you. I mean, I don't care one way or the other. I mean, I would like if we could pull it off tonight, but I certainly understand. You know, the reason I'd like to have it pulled off tonight is because the state commission's meeting, and we can go on record.
I think at this point it's too late to be added because it wasn't on the agenda and because of the rules regarding late resolutions. So even if we wanted to do it tonight, I don't think that it would be proper. If we wanted to do it tomorrow night, we could suspend the rules of the legislature or have committee of the whole.
But I mean, what are the criteria since we've changed the laws like 14 times in the past 3 years?
Monetary.
It's got to have a financial impact. It's got, you know, as, you
vital
know,
to a government.
As, you know, decided by the chairman of Ways and Means or the chairman of the legislature. It's got to have some time sensitivity at, you know, the chairman of the legislature or the chairman of laws and rules determines that it needs to happen now. It has to have two criterion.
So if the chair of the legislature or the chair of laws and rules think that it should be acted upon now, there's a public safety aspect of it as determined by the sheriff or the district attorney. And there's one more.
What's the resolution about, Dave? Refresh my memory.
Well, it's a memorializing resolution, basically, to try to get fiber optics. In other words, the thing has been on, everybody's been pushing it, and so I figured if we can go on a record to do that, and it goes before the state commission, I don't know, it probably won't hold any weight, but, you know, what can I tell you?
There are some streets in Plattekill without fiber optics.
Maybe we could use the Plattekill quadrillion for that.
I wrote comment on the Public Service Commission hearing, and then my son asked me to turn the DSL on in the back house because they come up a lot and they try to manage their business from there. And I called Verizon this morning, and they are at maximum capacity, and they cannot turn back on a service that I already had. So before, I was just talking in general about my community, my constituents. Right. Now they've got me mad. I mean, unbelievable that they are refusing to reinstitute a service that was already there because somebody else took my place. That means they're not doing anywhere near reasonable planning for the service that they're selling.
Yeah,
and this is you know, it's really a key, this fiber optic, for businesses throughout the county. And many areas they don't have service, which is, you know, we're a mountainous area, so in other words, they got to run the fiber optic, and you know, the state's got to force them to do it.
That's right.
They're making billions of dollars, and they're not really taking care of their
evil corporations. Does anybody have a problem with the resolution?
I haven't really read it yet.
I don't. Is it in here? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
You have copies, David.
Of course.
There should be enough copies there for everybody.
Oh, I thought.
I'd be against doing it tonight.
You can,
that hasn't been said, but
you
there's
can pass
enough.
One over your shoulder there to.
Yeah, I mean, I was a very big proponent of the rules regarding late resolutions and sticking to them.
Resolution 324.
Because there was a time in the legislature not too long ago
we had dozens of them.
We had. Yeah, it was just a deluge of late resolutions. Everything was a late resolution. A late resolution was just a way to ignore the resolution deadline and bring it to laws and rules.
I think when we drafted that part, Ken, we meant it for the other legislators, not for us.
Oh.
That's what I love about you, Ken.
Is this time sensitive because of the Public Service Commission hearing?
Well, that's what I'm figuring. If we pass it tomorrow, we can go right up to the Public Service Commission. And, you know,
when's the public comment period end?
I'm not sure. When do you know? Do you have any idea when it ends?
I just sent an amendment in today. But
how about
I didn't notice.
How about this? We let it go tonight, not pass it through the committee tonight. We will look into when the public comment period ends. If the public comment period ends before our next legislative meeting, I will support us going into Committee of the Whole to pass it through tomorrow night.
How about if we avoid all that hassle and have a committee meeting at like 6:55? Can we get the answer by...
Or we could write a letter like John did with another memorializing resolution and have everybody just sign it and send a letter up to the
commission. I've always believed more in memorializing
resolutions.
It's working a little more powerful.
I just was trying to...
But if you'll decide and see if you can find out
As the chairman tomorrow, Mr. Chairman, you know, you have the authority to appoint the chairman of the committee.
He's already gone, by the way. So I am the chairman.
Right, I know, that's what I'm saying.
So as a result, I mean, I'm thinking this is pretty pertinent. What about you, Ken?
I'm almost agreeing with you. As acting chairman of the laws and rules, I'm ready to throw it on the agenda so we can just go home tonight. And
I would like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Sounds like I'm going to be overruled here. I think the proper way to do it would be to have a committee of the whole tomorrow night.
I think it'd be, yeah, but that's a nightmare.
Yeah, no, you're going to get people arguing for a half hour whether we should have the committee as a whole.
It's so much simpler just doing it.
I can guarantee you 10 votes on my caucus to enter committee of the whole. In our rules now, committee of the whole is a majority vote of the body.
I may not get 10 in my caucus.
Yeah. You can let General Hague just take over.
I'm in charge.
You're right. I gotta be quick.
Be sure Lynn sees this because I think she'll want to co-sponsor.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, they can go on it.
Well, I'm going to move to put this on our agenda for tonight, and
I'll second that.
Okay. You want
to
discuss
accept as late?
Yeah, as a late.
It's timeliness. It's timely due to the fact that the Public Commission is meeting.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dave. And that's Resolution 324, requesting Public Service Commission to direct Verizon to provide fiber optic internet access to the Hudson Valley and Plattekill.
They've been actually given.
$1 billion
they've been given.
What about municipalities that already have franchise agreements with other cable providers?
They could still get out of them. The franchise is not with the public. The franchise is that they allow them
correct.
To operate.
Correct. It's exclusivity because they have the
right.
wires and they have the infrastructure in place and
right.
they pay to install it and they pay to operate it and they pay to maintain it.
Right. And what will happen is the same thing with fiber optics. We would enter into a contract again.
Is Verizon the only one with fiber optics?
At this point, yeah.
What about Time Warner? The road will
Time Warner does cable.
They also
Time Warner crapple. They're terrible.
They have internet service too.
Somewhat, if you call it internet service.
Okay.
Well, compared, if you've ever been on fiber optic, you don't have it.
No.
You have cable.
I went from cable to back to Frontier DSL, and I'd never go back to cable again. And my DSL's 12 megabytes per second, but it's all mine. Time Warner Cable has 50 megabytes per second, but it's all shared.
Right.
So if 10 people on my block, and with the franchise agreements and having exclusivity, if 10 people on my block are on the Time Warner cable, it's garbage.
Yeah, if I have had times where I'm sitting in my kitchen, I can, that's low as hell. And other times, I can be in the backyard and I can, be.
Now, if you make an agreement with your neighbors to only go on at certain times of the day, okay, you've got 2 to 4, I got 4 to 6.
Like a party line?
Yeah.
Like a telephone?
Exactly.
That's what it's like. That's what it really is like. It's like the old party lines and telephones and, many years ago.
Anyway.
All in favor of 324?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
For lateness, not for the content. I don't believe that we should be voting on this tonight. Feel very strongly about that.
So the vote on lateness is passed 3-1.
Yes. And the resolution passes 3-1.
All right, the resolution.
There's no vote on lateness. Oh. It's just a vote on the resolution, and I'm voting no because of the
lateness issue. Okay, got it. I got it.
You're
not
going to try to knock it out, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm not that much of a jerk, Dave.
And I'll double check.
Sometimes you can.
Just so we know, I'll double check when the comment closes.
Yeah, February of next year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty urgent. That's why.
Okay, Dave, now that I got that out of the way for you, any old business?
Good.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you all.
Okay, we adjourn the meeting.
How many taps on?
Three. That works for me.
Full Terry now.
7:23.